Check one.
Will everyone in the Missouri Senate Chamber, including the upper gallery, please rise for the prayer by our chaplain. This will be followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
From the 27th Psalm we hear, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts." Almighty God, we gather together once more to do the work of the Senate. We know that change is inevitable and leadership change affects us all. We will miss what we have had and view the transition we share as an opportunity to experience your faithfulness and seek to know what it means to each of us. We pray that we'll be open to the growth it offers and spiritual movement it holds. With strength that comes from you, we face the challenges of the vetoed bills that we deem worthy. Be with us in our discernment and guide our thoughts and decisions this day requires of us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Kevney, Kehoe, Krause, Leibla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Riddle, Romine, Sater, Schoff, Schaefer, Schatz, Schmidt, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from Polk, a quorum is present. The Missouri Senate is now in session. Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, I ask that the Marshal of the Supreme Court be allowed to enter the chamber with a sidearm.
Hearing no objection, proceed to the entry into the chamber.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the benefit of the body, reporters have been granted privileges for Eric Rodas from KOLR-TV, John Ross from KTVI, Travis Zingfeld from the Missouri Times, Julie Smith from the News Tribune, Phil Brooks from Missouri Digital News, Kermit Miller from KRCG, and Dave Mariner from the Gasconade County Republican.
Okay, the chair would note those folks have been granted permission to take photographic images. From the gallery and anyone else, you are not permitted to flash photography in this chamber. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of resolutions.
Resolutions.
Mr. President, I have a resolution, and I ask that it be read.
Read the resolution of the Senator from Cole.
Senate Resolution Number 1, be it resolved by the Senate that the Secretary of Senate inform the House of Representatives that the Senate is duly convened and is now in session as provided by Article 3, Section 32 of the Constitution and is ready for the consideration of its business.
President, I move that the resolution be adopted.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is agreed to. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have another resolution, and I'd ask that it be read.
Read the resolution of the Senator from Cole.
Senate Senate Resolution Number 2, be it resolved by the Senate that the rules of the Senate as adopted by the 98th General Assembly, first regular session, be declared to be the rules of the veto session of the 98th General Assembly.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the resolution be adopted.
All those in favor of adopting the resolution say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is adopted. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate proceed to perfect its organization.
Those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion is agreed to. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would seek unanimous consent that immediate family members and relatives of the senator from Newton be allowed to use flash photography on the floor.
Hearing no objection, so ordered.
It's now my honor to place in nomination the name of Ron Richard for the office of President Pro Tem.
Thank you, Senator. And Senator from the 4th. For what purpose do you seek recognition?
I second that nomination.
Hearing no further nominations, Secretary, call the roll on the nomination.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham,
aye.
Curls,
aye.
Dixon,
aye.
Emery, Hageman,
aye.
Holzman,
aye.
Kevney, Kehoe,
aye.
Kraus,
aye.
Leibler,
aye.
Munslinger,
aye.
Nasheed,
aye.
Onder,
aye.
Parson,
aye.
Pierce,
aye.
Richard,
aye.
Riddle,
aye.
Romine,
aye.
Sater,
aye.
Schoff,
aye.
Schaefer,
aye.
Schatz,
aye.
Schmidt,
aye.
Shoup,
aye.
Sifton,
aye.
Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh,
aye.
Wasson,
aye.
Whelan.
Aye.
Senator from 14th, you are not recorded. Thank you, Senator. By your vote of 32 ayes, 0 no, you have elected the next President Pro Tem of the Missouri Senate, the Senator from Newton. The chair would note before they approach with the senator from Christian that this is always an historic occasion, the election of a president pro tem of this body. In 195 years of statehood, however, I don't believe any person has ever been both speaker of the other chamber and president pro tem of this chamber until today. The senator from Newton will be escorted to the dais by the senator from Christian County. Senator from Newton, please proceed to the dais to receive your oath of office, which will be administered by Judge Breckinridge of the Missouri Supreme Court.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Ron Richard.
I, Ron Richard.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will fully support the Constitution of the United States.
And of the State of Missouri.
And of the State of Missouri.
And faithfully perform the duties of my office.
And faithfully perform the duties of my office.
And that I will not knowingly receive directly or indirectly.
And I will not knowingly receive directly or indirectly.
Any money or other valuable thing.
Any money or any valuable things.
For the performance.
For the performance.
Or non-performance of any act or duty.
Of non-performance
Of any act or duty.
Of any act or duty.
Pertaining to my office.
Pertaining to my office.
Other than compensation allowed by law.
Other than compensation allowed by law.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate you noting that historic event. It's also historic to see how many friends the senator from Newton actually has. Mr. President, I know that another historic event is about to happen in the retirement of Carol Newton. Many folks have visited Fig Newton's office over the last 23 years, and I thought it was worth noting that I will be giving her this resolution later, but I'd like the body to help me congratulate Carol Newton in her retirement.
Let's congratulate Carol Newton.
She's the toughest constituents I have, Mr. President.
Senator, may the chair inquire of you?
Yes, sir.
After Carol's departure, will the cookie still be in there?
We can only hope.
Okay.
You know I'll always have some, Mr. President. Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go back to the order of business of resolutions. I have two resolutions.
Resolutions. Send your first one forward.
I am sending the first resolution forward. It has been distributed. I request a waiver of the reading for the body's knowledge. This is the resolution that will allow the silver-haired legislature use of the chamber this fall. It's a longstanding tradition in the Missouri Senate.
The reading is waived. Move the adoption.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the resolution be adopted.
All those in favor of adopting this resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm sending a second resolution forward. It's been distributed and requests a waiver of the reading.
Reading is waived.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is for the YMCA Youth and Government Day here in the Senate chambers.
All those in favor of adopting this resolution, say aye. And those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. That resolution is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask you to recognize the senator from Webster.
Senator from Webster, sir.
Then I have a resolution.
Send it forward, sir. Has it been distributed?
It has been distributed, and I ask for a waiver of the reading.
The reading will be waived. Proceed with your explanation.
Mr. President, I move that Senate resolution be adopted. Mr. President, this is a resolution allowing the Constitutional Project to use the Senate chambers. We've approved this twice already this year. Due to change of date, they've asked for a different date.
Thank you, Senator. All those in favor of adopting the resolution of the Senator from Webster, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is agreed to. Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, are there communications from the governor?
There are. Affirmative.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask that the reading be waived and that the messages be printed in the journal as they have been distributed.
Wait. Okay. I am now informed that we do not have the messages from the House.
These were communications from the governor.
So the answer to that is, as I stated, affirmative. Is that correct? Okay. The reading, it will be waived, and they so ordered that they're printed in the journal.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, we are experiencing a slight technical difficulty, and we will resume any moment.
So the Senate chamber will be at ease here,
President,
for a minute, if that's your request. Oh, wait a minute. The senator from the 8th was seeking recognition. For what purpose do you rise?
Seeking unanimous consent to introduce special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
To your left and my right over on the side gallery, we have Gerald and Sue Rogers from Sykeston, Missouri. Senator from Cape and I welcomed them to the Missouri Senate today. Gerald Rogers came up with an idea that was put into Senate Bill 253 that had a Korea license plate done, and he's here to celebrate that, and got some pictures earlier, and I wanted to introduce him and have the body welcome him and thank him for his military service to our country.
Senator, it is appropriate that two military veterans like you and the senator from Cape would take the lead on this. Let's welcome these fine folks to the Missouri Senate. Senator from the 14th was seeking recognition.
Yes, Mr. President, I seek a point of personal privilege.
Senator from the 14th will be heard on a point of personal privilege.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. During this interim, there are a lot of issues that people in my district have had to deal with. First, it started off whether or not our children in our unaccredited school districts would have an opportunity to have a better education. For the last 3 years, we have been debating education policy and trying to seek the careful balance to allow young people who live many, many times in impoverished areas. Well, we heard from the Board of Education, and we heard from individuals throughout the state who said that the bill that many of us in this chamber worked very, very hard on basically was a voucher bill, which is the first we ever heard of that. We also heard during the interim that this legislation that we've worked on for 3 years would go absolutely nowhere. And then I started getting phone calls and emails from my constituents, parents, hearing from children. Perhaps some of you have read the articles about children who are depressed because they are labeled of not achieving anything because they are in substandard environments intellectually. It is a crying shame that Democrats and Republicans can come together and you have a cowardice governor who cannot put his rule, as my first grade teacher, Anna Louise Larson, used to say, he couldn't find the time to roll up his sleeves and do the hard work and put some elbow grease into it. That's what Anna Louise Larson, my first grade teacher, used to say. Put some elbow grease into it. Take some time to figure out what is the best policy to move forward. In these phone calls that I received, the messages on Facebook and on Twitter, children felt trapped. They feel trapped. You know, let's just tell the truth. They felt enslaved. They feel enslaved. Can you ever imagine for just a moment what it's like to be enslaved, having people control your movements, what you say, what you do, and to know that people came together from throughout the state with varied interests, rural and urban, black and white, and they produced a product and delivered it 2 years in a row. And our governor, who has served not only in this body, but has served as our attorney general, and now our governor, decided to do the coward thing, which is to do nothing. Just sign a veto letter, make claims that are untrue, disregard the hard work of individuals both in the House and the Senate. Meanwhile, there are children who are suffering. I've never seen anything like this before. I thought when the state of Missouri, wherever we may be and there is a crisis, that the work of this body is the most important thing that happens when we put aside all of our personal philosophies and our agenda and we work to benefit the people who have no voice, the people who don't have the basic opportunity to get an education that is of quality and gives them a pathway to success. What we have been fighting over this summer is whether or not the 1993 statute can be in effect. In 2013, the Missouri Supreme Court said without any barriers whatsoever, children may transfer from an unaccredited school district. And you don't get to pick and choose. The court, the opinion of the court, they didn't say you get to pick and choose, or Education Plus says you can go to Pattonville or you can go to Clayton or you can go to Rockwood. Wherever the parent decides to send their children, that is where these children may go. That is the 1993 law. And so I wanted to raise that point and also raise all the other citizen inequalities that exist in my district. So as children have been afraid to go to school because they feel as though they've been bullied, at the same time, there are people in Ferguson who still have not had any results. Now, we had an opportunity at the end of session this year to pass a deadly force bill. But, again, personal philosophies and agendas got in the way, and we cannot deliver something that would have truly meant something for the people who are on the ground every single day. And, yes, it's great that we passed Senate Bill 5, but it's not the reason why Michael Brown died. It's not the reason why there are young men and women who are being killed every single day by police officers. It doesn't resolve that issue. And so when we had the opportunity in the last week of session to get to that sweet spot where Democrats and Republicans came together, personal philosophies, agendas came before the people. Came before the people, right? You know, I thought the voice of the people was supposed to reign supreme. You know, we have been talking about Black Lives Matter, and then we have another issue. It's called All Lives Matter, right? So if all lives mattered, the 48,000 tons of uranium, plutonium, benzene, thorium in the Bridgeton landfill, if all lives mattered, there would be people in this chamber wondering why independent scientists said that St. Louis is about to be Chernobyl. Do you guys know about Chernobyl? Do you know about Fukushima? So a long time ago, our department, our U.S. Department of Energy, decided to work with Mallinckrodt to make sure that we had a free society and government, and so we were creating this atomic nuclear bomb, and we were getting Belgium, Congo uranium. It's like the strongest uranium you can find in the world, 235, 238 uranium. And we took the ore from Africa, we brought it to St. Louis, and we created what many people know as the Manhattan Project. And so what came of this is we produced a lot, we manufactured uranium to the point where it was smoother than powdered sugar. Smoother than powdered sugar. Which means when we were going to do something to protect our country, we were going to be prepared. But here's the problem. The problem is that we never used that uranium. I don't know if you know this or not, but uranium has a half-life of 1,000 years. Uranium was poured in the Bridgeton landfill. Uranium was poured in the creek of Coldwater Creek, and we just found out recently that uranium was also poured where the St. Louis County Board of Elections is. I have an entire list of people, employees, at the St. Louis County Board of Elections who have died in the last 15 years of cancer. Not just any cancer, the most rare cancers. There are children who are born in my district without eyeballs. There are children who are born in my district with double sets of teeth. There are fathers who are dying of cancer at 29 years old. Children with brain cancer happens 300 times more. Children with brain cancer happens 300 times more in Bridgeton. 300 times. Not the chance of. I'm not saying the chance of happening is 300 times greater. What is actually happening is that children have brain tumors. Children have brain cancer. The number of incidences of children with autism has increased extraordinarily. If you look at the maps and you look at the clusters of people who have thyroid cancer, it's obvious that something happened a long time ago. So then I found out about a place called Robertson, Missouri. Didn't know about Robertson, Missouri until I went to Rosh Hashanah with one of my constituents. And there was a black woman who was sitting at the table who was saying, you know, I come from Robertson, Missouri. And I'm like, what is Robertson? You know that little area that's north of the airport, right off of Fifi Road? It's neighboring Hazelwood now. It's Hazelwood. And there was an expansion. Well, it turns out in 1953, one of the Malincrot trucks spilled over. And you had all of this uranium, purified uranium, just on the ground, and they were spraying it. You can look at the newspaper articles. They just sprayed it down. But here's the thing about uranium. It has to go somewhere. It has to go somewhere. Where it went? Into the ground in Robertson, Missouri. So then children started getting sick. In 1972, I want to say, I may be wrong, but 1970s, the high school closed. The high school closed. Kids were getting sick. Then the houses were being bought out. People wondered, why are they buying out houses in Robertson, Missouri? Because there was a spill with the most purified uranium in the world. There's a 42-year-old woman right now who has one of the most aggressive breast cancers that you can ever imagine, the cousin of the woman who I was sitting with at Rosh Hashanah. And she said she never knew of anything like this. No one ever had cancer in the family. What we have learned about this uranium and plutonium and benzene and thorium and their daughters, what we have learned is that it becomes generational. So you literally, I'm running into families at this point who have sisters and brothers and children, fathers, mothers. All of these individuals are getting some type of aggressive cancer, and they're the rare cancers. There's one cancer, appendix cancer. A doctor says that you're only supposed to have in the region of St. Louis, 12 cases. In one cluster in North County, we have 44 cases of appendix cancer. 44 cases. 44. The Attorney General, who was formerly a member of this body, put together a report talking about the Bridgeton landfill, and in a portion of it, it says that we Missourians have between 3 to 6 months before the fire meets the uranium, meets the benzene, thorium, and everything else, the radium, all in there, right? So let me just tell you, I'm not a scientist, but I talk to scientists, right? So even when steam meets up with a particle and it becomes airborne, you have radioactive waste in the air. Now, if we have 3 to 6 months to deal with the catastrophe that's about to happen, you would think that all lives matter, huh? I guess you would think all lives matter. If all lives matter, then the mothers that I talk to and listen to crying every single day, they would have more attention. You know, let me also tell you, in 1996, Kit Bond wrote a letter to the Pentagon, and he said there are over 100 sites throughout St. Louis that have this radioactive waste. I told you earlier that uranium has a half-life of 1,000 years. We're between 50 and 70 years right now. And until you get to that half-life, it only gets more and more potent. This is a national security issue, if you haven't guessed it yet. It's a national security issue. You know why? Any single person who chooses or group of people who say, let's attack American citizens, all you have to do is hijack a plane and nosedive into the right place at Bridgeton Landfill. The EPA doesn't want to deal with this because they were only created after the Manhattan Project. We have people who can die. I'm sure the senator from the second is very familiar with Weldon Springs, which was remediated some time ago. And there's sites like this all over St. Louis, even in Jefferson County. There are sites where there was uranium poured. Now, We haven't responded adequately to education for children. We haven't responded adequately for people who live in and around Ferguson. I'm wondering what my colleagues in the General Assembly are going to do when you have 48,000 tons of uranium up in smoke in the air, because there's a fire that exists today. There is a fire. You know, you look at the pictures from the Maplewood Library files, and it shows the landfill where the St. Louis County Board of Elections is. And you see all of these Mallinckrodt drums, and they used to just dump some of their old train pieces in this dump. You can look at the pictures. Maplewood Library has them. You can look them up if you want to. And so what's interesting is that no one knew. Our county executive didn't know. He didn't know the list of people who've died. And I can go through this list of people who have died who have worked in the St. Louis County Board of Elections, one of which I knew, one of the individuals I knew. She's an amazing woman. She's a very helpful woman, very helpful. And then you look at the reports from East-West Gateway back in the 90s, and the only thing that they treated that site for was dioxin. They didn't take out any of the pieces of the railroad or whatever Mallinckrodt was pouring into there, that landfill, along with the drums. They didn't take that out. They didn't take those items out. If you look at how the Metrolink was structured, it actually goes up in the air. It goes out and up through, past the St. Louis County Board of Elections. There are literally over 8 people who work in St. Louis County Election Board right now, who used to work in the St. Louis County Board of Elections, who have died. I have constituents who have worked at the St. Louis County Board of Elections. I have a former intern who worked at the St. Louis County Board of Elections. Knowing that we have a two-pronged problem here, I think we should be calling a state of emergency. It's interesting to note, when our governor was the attorney general, he sued Republic Services. And some of the information that I've received so far is that the original fine was about $100,000. And somehow that was dwindled down to perhaps less than $10,000. I wonder how that happened. I wonder how that happened. How many business leaders, how many developers, the developers who created the Sunan Business Park, THJ, some of the rest of them, how many of them knew that the St. Louis County Board of Elections was sitting on top of a radioactive landfill? You know, down from the landfill, you have Deer Creek, and you have parks. There are a couple of Superfunds that are a few miles away that have been remediated by the Corps of Engineers or the EPA. But the one thing you need to understand, and again, I'm not a scientist, I just know a lot of them. But when you manufacture uranium to the point where it's finer than powdered sugar, its mobility is aggressive. Just look at the rain that we've gotten. Imagine the groundwater. And oh, by the way, if you're in North County, you have 2 water intake centers. Well, here's what we've discovered about radioactive chemicals. There's an example in Texas where in water there's radioactive waste, and it can seep through the metal and go to the groundwater. If that can happen from the inside of a pipe, imagine what is happening from the outside of a pipe that gives us our daily water that we drink, that your children drink, that the children in my district drink. We wonder why children have problems trying to get educated. We wonder why we're paying so much in medical care. Maybe the reason why we're paying so much is because we have all of this radioactive waste that is in our groundwater. And that's just what was mixed in the soil. What we need to be concerned about as a state, Because, again, I've said this time and time again, what happens in St. Louis happens to the whole state, all right? Let's have another Michael Brown. Let's just have one more and see how it impacts the state. Let's have more unaccredited school districts, and let's see how it impacts the state. If you have a crisis with 48,000 tons of the most potent uranium in your backyard, I want you to talk to those mothers. I want you to see those mothers and hear their voices and see the tears that come from their eyes, the ones who live in Spanish Village. Oh, and by the way, I was at Spanish Village just last week. One of my firefighters said, look, I want you to find, I was on the phone with him. He was in St. Charles. He said, I want you to find a puddle. And I said, what, a puddle? Why do you want me to look for a puddle? Find a puddle. So I went to go find a puddle. Just rained the day before. And I said, okay, I found a puddle. I found a few puddles. And he says, do you see bubbles coming up? Bubbles? What do you mean bubbles? And I look down, and I actually see bubbles coming up from the asphalt. You know what that is? It's methane. It's methane. So the mommies who live at Spanish Village, right underneath them coming up through their homes, is methane. So we already know that Governor Nixon is a coward. We already know that he has no ability to affect change already. He has no scruples at all. None. He's probably one of the most pathetic governors I will ever know. And I halfway questioned Holden. Holden's a good guy. But Governor Jay Nixon is in the pits. You know why? Because children are still in failed schools, and he has no plan. I don't know who was at the budget committee, the joint budget committee, and they asked, you know, one of the Education Plus folks, do you have a plan? And they said, no, we don't have a plan. We don't have a plan. What? I heard the governor said that we have a deal. There's no deal. There's no law that restricts a school district from defining what its tuition is going to be. It's actually outlined in the statute. If we're sitting on the 1993 law, children have a right to go to any school they deem fit. And again, the Missouri Supreme Court supported that. Every child has a right to freedom. You know, it reminds me of slavery. I love these elitists. There are a lot of elitists in my own party who think the only way to recover children who are struggling is to provide early education opportunities. That's a no-brainer. That's low-hanging fruit. Duh. What I care about, what is essential for children who live in urban areas, is to have some kind of stopgap in middle school and in high school. What, are you just going to leave them open for the pipeline to prison? Oh, it sounds like slavery. Let's control the minds of these children and the movement of these children. Slavery. Slavery. Let's say it together. Slavery. Intellectual slavery. That is what our governor, and at this point, the AFL-CIO with their COPE vote, has allowed to happen, is to allow children to live in slavery while they're trying to get an education. Let me also tell you what I went through this summer. There was an article that was posted on Facebook, some labor Facebook page. And, you know, I don't mind when people agree or disagree, but don't disrespect me. Don't disrespect this office, just like I won't disrespect you, right? So these labor individuals, one wearing blackface, decided to start calling me out of my name. These are labor people. Now, I'm 100% labor. They called me the C word. They called me the B word. Had nothing to do with my education policy. Had everything to do with Ferguson. Now, I'm not a betting person, but I'm kind of thinking, was it really smart for a group that you have aligned yourself with for 11 years, is it really wise for them to start calling you names in a public forum for an issue that has nothing to do with what they care about? So I started investigating what union they came from. Teamsters, 688, IBEW, Local 1, steelworkers, Local 36. And oh, by the way, my favorite guy, the one in blackface, Mr. Union, he said he's a proud union member. He's a proud union member. He was dressed up in blackface like he was Don King, and his wife, for Halloween, had stains of blood on her shirt like Don King was supposed to beat her up or something. That's Mr. Union for ya. That's Mr. Union. And let me just tell you, I want to tell you the next story. So the truckers at Republic Services, they're Teamsters, right? Teamsters probably have some level of cancer because they're working at the Bridgeton landfill. They're exposed to it. When I go down to the Bridgeton landfill, no one is wearing anything over their noses or their mouths. No one is wearing anything, right? And there are other labor groups that say, hey, let's just build on top of this landfill that has 48,000 tons of uranium in it, not thinking that their own members' lives are at risk. I thought that labor cared about OSHA. That's what I thought all these years. I thought the labor unions cared about OSHA. Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't, because you know what? These Teamsters are living in fear for their lives. They are living in fear. There's another person who I know who formerly worked for Republic Services said, I used to train these guys. I'm listening to these guys. They're scared to death, Maria. They're scared. And then you have other tradesmen who say, let's just build on top of it. Well, if you know that uranium is mobile, highly mobile, you can't just dump stuff over it because it's in our groundwater. So I'm right now, I've had a very long summer. I have people who are about to die. I have people who have died. I do have people, you know, in 6 weeks, I had five people die in 6 weeks. In 6 weeks. And they all lived in Bridgeton. 6 weeks because of one of these rare cancers. Here's my question. Hey, Governor, are you going to let these people die just like you're intellectually letting these children die in Normandy and Riverview Gardens? Are you going to let them die? Are you going to show up 15 days late like you did in Ferguson? When we're exposed to 48,000 tons of uranium in the air, you're going to show up late to that too? Don't let me even go through the Ferguson Commission report. I've gone through this. It's a pitiful excuse. Bells and whistles at the very beginning of it. Bells and whistles. And then his agenda is in this. It's interesting. So the first thing that they said they needed to do at the Ferguson Commission is deadly force. Deadly force. Well, you know what? We were a week away from deadly force, and people on both sides of the aisle said, we're not going to care about the interests of people in Ferguson and around Ferguson. We don't care that the U.S. Supreme Court changed the law in 1985 and then again in 1989. Is a bill that we were just inches away from passing. And instead, we decided to let our personal agendas, even knowing that the governor was going to veto the bill, the right to work bill, we went forward and ignored the people of my district. So here's your third opportunity, y'all. Here's your third opportunity. 48,000 tons of uranium 3 to 6 months away from a fire, and it's all going to be airborne. Are you going to let my people die? If all lives matter, here's your test. If all lives matter, you're going to do something instead of being like our lame duck governor. It was fascinating listening to him the other day. We're not going to let this go. We're not going to let this go. He sounded like Truman when he wrote The Freedom from Fear. He sounded like Lyndon B. Johnson when he said, we're going to do this Kerner Commission. 1968, 47 years later, nothing is done. We already know that our governor historically does not get engaged in legislative acts. We know that. And so he says, we're not going to drop the ball. We're not going to drop the ball. After 30 years of serving in government, in Missouri government, really? Do you think that we are going to trust anything that you say or do, Governor Nixon? Because you have not failed just once. You have not failed just twice, but on my record, in my district, you have failed three times, Governor Nixon. Three times you have failed the people that you represent. I want you to look in the eyes of these mothers who are crying. Look in the eyes of these children with brain tumors, with brain cancer, with leukemia, with thyroid cancer, with appendix cancer. And you tell them in their face that they do not matter. You tell them that, Governor Nixon. You have 1 year for your legacy to change. 1 year. Right now, your legacy says that you're the most pitiful governor we've ever had. And yes, Democrat saying it to a Democrat. Absolutely. I want to see if you are going to allow more people to die. All of these citizen inequalities, all of these citizen inequities, inequities, intellectual inequity, environmental inequity, economic inequity. Oh, by the way, did you guys see that one of the agenda items in the Ferguson report dealt with low-income housing, ownership of housing? Why would anyone want to own a home on top of uranium? You tell me that. Are you going to move them to North County? You know, the big dream when you were an African American in St. Louis City is to move to St. Louis County. That was the big dream, the big hope, to own your own home. Now people are finding out those homes that they moved into, underneath them, they have radon coming up, methane coming up. They have uranium, the most potent uranium. The most potent uranium in the world. Most of the production for the Manhattan Project was done right here in Missouri, specifically in the St. Louis region. I am asking all of you, instead of ignoring my district yet once again, because this next one is going to be a big blow up. Literally. How many thousands of people do you want to see die? You think it's a joke? It's not a joke. I want to see who is going to respond. And you know what? I'm going to time it, just like I did for Steve Stenger. Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. How many months are you going to stay silent? How many months are we going to watch babies die? Fathers die prematurely. You know, it's interesting, at the Pattonville School District, they have all of our warriors who have died, not because of an accident, Because of cancer. They all have cancer. And here's the scariest part of all of this soil. It was moved around. You know, as fill-in. It was moved around. I'm walking my dog this morning, and I'm thinking of, we just had this new street put in, and we had to extend our sidewalks, and they had to put in some fill-in. Where was that fill-in from? Was it from Coldwater Creek? Was it from Bridgeton? Do we care about the water people drink? Or maybe not because, it's in North County. All lives matter, right? I think sometimes when people say all lives matter, it's a joke. I know Black Lives Matter. I know the mommies in Bridgeton, they matter. I know they do. But apparently from the top down, our governor doesn't think that people in my district matter. I've had calls from the senator from the 8th, from the senator from Phelps, from the 9th, my favorite senator over there, Barton. I've never in 15 years have had this much stress. 15 years, ever. It's juggling three major issues at one time for one district. Three major issues: intellectual inequity, environmental inequity, economic inequity, social inequity, and this General Assembly has been silent. Again, yeah, it was great we passed Senate Bill 5, but here's what you don't know. There are three people in my district or around my district who have tried to commit suicide this summer, and I saved their lives. That's what you don't know. That's on top of the people who are depressed. That's on top of having to go through people's Facebooks and Twitter just to make sure that they're okay. I have white men who are depressed because they care about Black Lives Matter, and other white folks just, there's no problem. You know, it's interesting, and this is what I'm going to close with. It's interesting to note that the elitists in my party talk about early childhood education. The elitists. We know that's a no-brainer. Early ed is very important. But you know what? The same people who are talking about early education are the same ones who never showed up to Ferguson. Thank you, Mr. President.
For what purpose does the senator from Buchanan rise?
Initially to inquire of the senator from the 14th.
Does the senator from the 14th yield for inquiry?
Yes, Mr. President.
If she yields, you may inquire.
Thank you, Senator. I was listening to what you were saying, and some of it struck home for me. Is Jennings in your district?
Yes.
You know, I was born in Jennings and lived there till I was 9, and then we moved to St. Joseph, where I live now. So, you know, I'm come from that area, and I remember seeing some of the, companies that were, you know, manufacturing artillery and different things going on there. Since living in St. Joe, we have a house in a subdivision, and one of the things about Northwest Missouri is there's a lot of uranium in the ground, and so they advised us to have radon testing in our house, and our house tested high for radon. I guess the uranium molecules that are down in the ground, periodically one will become a radon molecule.
Over time.
And then it's a gas, and so it filters up through the dirt and so on, and then it can come into your basement.
Yes.
And where it kind of collects, I have a feeling that a lot of what you're seeing probably is a radon thing, do you think?
Well, here's the difference. The radon that you're talking about, the Missouri radon, and most states have, not radon, but uranium, is level 4 or 6. It's very low on the scale. What we're talking about is 235 and 238. It's the most potent. We didn't take the ore out from Missouri grounds.
Does it come
to We went to Africa and got the Belgian Congo uranium, which is the strongest stuff in the world.
Just more concentrated.
Yes.
So you probably have a lot of radon particles coming up. So I wonder if one of the ways to mitigate this in your district would be to help the people there test for the radon.
Well, that's what we're doing already. In fact, there's some other, the state needs to do a better job in this, but we did find out through a couple of the mothers that there are radon tests that they can get, but you can't get the normal test. So the ones that you would maybe purchase at Home Depot or something like that, that does not measure for what we're talking about.
It's expensive to mitigate the radon in your home.
It is. It's expensive for people to die every single day, too.
I have a feeling that you know, one of the ways that we might be able to help would be to help those people get that abatement going.
I think it's impossible to remediate it. Did you read the report? In fact, the report said, and you're a doctor, and I said I'm not a scientist, but you know, you do know a lot of details that I don't. But did you know that in this report from the Attorney General that radioactive waste was found in tree trunks and leaves? And another scientist familiar with Chernobyl said, if this radioactive waste is in tree trunks and leaves, it's probably in your body as well.
Probably so. Has the Department of Health and Senior Services weighed in on this, done any investigation into this, a high number of cancer cases?
The Department of Natural Resources, St. Louis County Department of Health, but their studies were minimal, and in fact, I will tell you, in their 2015 budget, they took away $1 million for studies and put it into parks, empty parks.
Isn't it the job of the DHSS here in Missouri to look at clusters like that?
Yeah, and we have some photos of all of this stuff. Let me just tell you, I've been tracking this for the last 4 years after redistricting. I had the landfill before redistricting. I did not. And I started getting more and more engaged in this, talking to families, going to different town hall meetings within my district, either myself or my staff. And when we got the information from independent scientists, from the Attorney General, and mind you, I didn't support this Attorney General, okay? So it's not like he's my best friend. Let's just put that on the line right here. It's not like he's my best friend. But I do trust the effort that he went through. I do trust that effort and the scientists and what they were saying. You cannot have all of these independent scientists saying the same thing and not do anything about it.
So as far as you know, the DHSS hasn't really done any investigation or looking at this?
My main work has been with the Department of Natural Resources,
which
dropped
the ball as well. Don't you think that the state of Missouri should be doing something, though? I mean, through our public health group?
Absolutely. But, you know, there are a lot of different entities that are responsible. Right now, what I'm trying to do is mediate what crisis we're in right now. Because we're in a time crunch. If you're talking about Coldwater Creek, that's a whole different situation, but it's a slow death regardless. If you're talking about Westlake Landfill, what we have 3 to 6 months, 800 feet. The difference between the fire and the uranium and benzene and thorium and their daughters is 800 feet.
Really?
800 feet.
Well, so don't you think that the state ought to be doing something here?
Yeah, we're suing them. We're suing Republic Services.
Speaking
I'm very
of suing,
grateful for
have
that.
You heard of Aaron Brockovich? Do you remember Aaron Brockovich?
Yeah, and yes, I do. And you know what I say? Let me tell you. This is how I explain this to my constituents. This is Aaron Brockovich, a civil action, and then the cigarette movie, which I really loved, all put together in one.
Well, you know, Aaron Brockovich came to our area. It was actually the senator from Andrews District. And in Cameron, Missouri, spreading on farmers' fields, I think it was the tanning, the products of the tanning where they, you know, we have a slaughterhouse and they tan the hides. And I guess that they were spreading on the fields these chemicals that were left over from the tanning process. And Aaron Brockovich actually came to our area, and they ultimately filed a class action lawsuit and got some help to those people. There was a high incidence of cancer cases in that area. And so she is actually somebody who really does actually get interested in
things
like
that. Yes, she does. We follow her on Twitter.
Really?
She knows about this issue.
You ought to contact her.
She knows about this issue. I mean, here's the thing. This is bipartisan. If you have Kit Bond writing about this in 1996, he even asked in his letter in 1996 for a line item just to deal with the contamination in the St. Louis area.
You know,
and by the way, Russ Carnahan was absolutely tremendous in this as well.
They use uranium to harden bullets. And, you know, the hardened bullets will penetrate steel, and it will penetrate armored vehicles and so on. And the United States military uses those uranium-hardened bullets, and they've used quite a few of them in Iraq and Afghanistan. And now they're seeing an increase in cancer cases in Iraq. I mean, have you heard about that and read about that, too?
I believe it.
I mean, you know, we actually are creating a uranium problem in other countries through our police action over there. Write this down. There's an episode of This American Life. You know, it's an NPR program. Have you heard of This American Life?
I love NPR.
Well, anyway, this episode is number 562, and it's called The Problem We All Live With. And it basically talks about the education system in Ferguson.
Oh, yeah.
Normandy School District.
Yes.
It's a very interesting. I recently listened to it, but it tells a story about this one girl. And she was going to Ferguson, and she was just failing, and her mother was desperate, a single mom, desperate to get her out of there, tried everything. And then one day they found out that they could transfer to this other district.
Yes.
What's the name of the district? Something Garden or
Riverview Gardens.
Riverview Gardens.
Which is an
so
unaccredited
they go over to
district.
Riverview Gardens, and it was like 20 miles away. And she rode the bus, something like that.
Well, the proximity between Ferg Floor and Riverview is not 20 miles, but I mean,
well, I guess
depending
it was a
on
long,
what the
it was quite
is.
A bus ride.
Yeah.
And apparently, so she went there for a year. And she thrived. She did better in school. And this episode of This American Life starts off with this researcher telling about what actually works to help the disparity between you know, truthfully, there's a disparity between black population and others
yes.
in their educational results. And the researcher said there's one thing that's been shown to actually work, and you know what it is? Integration. Because they did integration years ago, but then they
I'm a product of that. And you know what? I was actually on the road when that came out. My mom texted me, and she was like, oh, my goodness, you have to listen to this show. And so, and then everyone started saying, you have to listen.
Everyone.
So I listened to it.
Well, anyway, the thing is that it said that suddenly we did this experiment in integration in Ferguson when the Normandy School District lost its accreditation, and so they were able to go to Riverview Gardens. And basically what it said is this girl goes there, and then after a year they get this letter saying, by the way, the state of Missouri gave them this new designation of non-accredited instead of unaccredited.
It's the game. They were playing a game with
right.
our statutes.
I couldn't believe that when I didn't really realize that. And so what the State Board of Education, they called them non-accredited. That way they wouldn't have to be unaccredited and keep this going. So she lost her ability to go to Riverview Gardens. I mean, I was just really disappointed in that. There's a ProPublica article. ProPublica is sort of the print version of that other. And so if you go to ProPublica, you can get kind of a summary of without having to listen to the audio on This American Life. And so those are just some thoughts that I had that I wanted to share with you.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. And I do, anytime that you have something to say, I think seriously about it. You know, the uranium that we have naturally in our soil in the state of Missouri and in other states is at a level 4 or 6, which is very, very low. But there is a certain amount of radon that comes up from that. But when you were talking about uranium 235 and 238, that is a higher intensity. And then you have all the other things in there, the thorium, the benzene, the radium, I mean, all of that stuff. And then knowing that methane is coming up across the street and in the Spanish Village neighborhood, you know, I'm really concerned about every single family that is living around this
yeah.
this environmental pollution, whether it is around Coldwater Creek or if it's around Bridgeton. And see, here's the thing. This is what I'm trying to urge the body to understand. When the fire meets this uranium, it is going to be airborne.
Yeah, probably.
And it takes, did you know this? It takes one particle to get cancer. One particle.
One particle of plutonium.
And our county executive refuses to call for a state of emergency.
Well, thank you for the inquiry. You know, one reason that I stood was that I want to talk about the St. Louis second football stadium. And so
it's on top of Mallinckrodt. Did you know that? Did you know that the new football stadium will be on top of the original Mallinckrodt?
No,
I meant to tweet that to you. I meant to tweet that to you. And so my mommies and daddies from Bridgeton, they're telling me about this. I'm telling you, there are these ladies. There are these cute ladies. One specific lady who's had 7 different cancers, by the way. 7 different cancers, who was born in 1942, who lived right next to Mallinckrodt. And she used the one downtown where the new stadium is supposed to be?
Well, you know, that stadium is just down the street from where I was born, basically, the proposal. But thank you for the inquiry, Mr. President. To speak on a point of personal privilege.
Senator from Buchanan will be heard on a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have here a statement that I would invite my colleagues to come over and sign about the proposed new stadium in St. Louis. And I'll be coming to you if you don't manage to get to me. Over 20 years ago, the legislature passed a bill authorizing the St. Louis Regional Convention and Sports Complex Authority to issue bonds to build what is now the Edward Jones Dome. It used to be the TWA Dome, but after TWA went out of business, they named it the Edward Jones Dome. And then the St. Louis Rams signed an agreement with the Sports Authority that they would, you know, be in St. Louis as long as the stadium stayed in the top quartile of stadiums nationally. Well, now they've informed the city of St. Louis, or then the Sports Authority, that it no longer is in there, so they are intending to leave and build a stadium in Los Angeles. And so our governor, Governor Nixon, has been working to get a second St. Louis stadium built, and he nominated a two-person commission who's been doing work and moving forward in building a second stadium. And they're planning to issue bonds without any vote of the people, without a vote of the legislature. And several of us have been trying to put a stop to that. It's not about the stadium. It's about the power of the purse of the legislative branch and the representatives of the people's decision as to whether or not the state should go into increased debt or not. And that's a very important point. The St. Louis Regional Convention and Sports Complex Authority issues the bonds many years ago, 20 years ago, and then entered into a lease with the state of Missouri. And then the state of Missouri leased the stadium back to the Sports Authority. And so a week or two ago, I had a hearing here. Actually, it wasn't a hearing. It was a public forum because we weren't allowed to have a hearing. And I had Doug Nelson, the director of the Office of Administration, come and explain some of the nuances of what happened. And I asked, does the state of Missouri have an obligation to appropriate the money to service these bonds? And the answer was, no, we clearly do not have an obligation to appropriate money to pay on the Edward Jones Dome. We don't. We have a lease. And if we don't appropriate the money, all we're basically doing is breaking that lease. Well, the governor has said that if he has them issue the bonds and then we don't appropriate the money to pay on those bonds, that we will put the good credit rating of the state of Missouri in jeopardy. So I asked Doug Nelson, is it true that if we don't appropriate the money, do we put the good credit rating of the state of Missouri in jeopardy? And his answer was, he did not know. He doesn't know. So since that time, I've talked to some bond agents, people who are the ones who issue the bonds, and asked them, since it is now a fact that about 10 of us, 10 senators, have said we will not appropriate money to pay on bonds if they are issued without a vote of the legislature, do you have to notify the potential bond purchasers of this fact? I mean, of all the many senators who have said this. Because, I mean, enough senators have said this that, I mean, we're probably not going to be appropriating money to service these bonds. Not only that, but Representative Flanagan and the Vice Chair of Budget, Fitzpatrick, the two of them have said, we will not be appropriating this money. So when you have all of these people in the legislature saying, we're not going to appropriate money to service the bonds, you would think that that's important information to tell potential bondholders, and yet these bond agents are telling me, well, they're not certain that that would rise to the level of being disclosable under the law, that you would have to tell them. So Jay Barnes, who's kind of leading this fight in the House, and I are working together, and we both have very similar statements. This one says, we, the undersigned members of the Missouri State Senate, hereby state that while we are not opposed to a new stadium in the St. Louis region, we are vehemently opposed to using state taxpayer resources, including direct appropriations for lease payments related to debt service for a new stadium before the existing stadium is paid in full. Together, we have pledged to vigorously oppose any proposal to appropriate state taxpayer dollars for debt service on a new stadium that is not authorized by a prior vote of the public or the General Assembly. This isn't about the stadium. This is about who gets to decide to put us in debt to an amount that will cost us $300 million over 30 years. $300 million. I cannot believe that 20 plus years ago, when we passed a law authorizing the bonding for the Edward Jones Dome, that we were also authorizing a second stadium. And according to Doug Nelson, the director of OA, the commissioner of the Office of Administration, it would also authorize a third, a fourth, a fifth stadium. He actually said that. That is their position, that the current law authorizes that. I cannot believe it. Now, it's a matter of law, yes, and it is pending before the court. The court has not yet ruled on that, but it doesn't matter what the court says. We are the legislative branch. We're the deciders on what we're going to appropriate money for. And I, for one, am going to fight tooth and nail to stop an appropriation that we don't approve and that this regional sports authority approves under the direction of Governor Nixon. So I would invite my colleagues to sign this, and I'm told that if we get a significant number of us on one sheet of paper, all working in unison, and deliver this to the governor and to the bonding agents and to the St. Louis Regional Convention and Sports Complex Authority, that this would rise to the level of having to be disclosed to potential bond purchasers who would be fools to invest money in bonds that they then know we will not appropriate money for. And so that's why I'm asking you to sign it. Your signature on here does not say that you're opposed to a stadium. Let them build a stadium. And if they want to build a stadium with state dollars, let them come to the legislature and make their case that this is the right thing for the people of Missouri. And let the people's representatives make a decision on whether to go into debt $300 million or not. So, you know, I'm not opposed to the stadium. I want to make that critically clear, at least not at this point. I am opposed to the governor unilaterally putting us in debt by $300 million. Thank you, Mr. President.
The senator from the 24th.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I introduce a special guest, if I could?
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you. Mr. President, back in the upper gallery to your right and my left is a friend of mine, Pat Contreras. Pat is actually a Kansas City native. He is serving in Jackson County on the Veterans Task Force there. Also served our country in the U.S. Foreign Service in Pakistan, in Mexico, and he worked in the area of economic development. He is a bright young man. We are lucky and fortunate to have him running as a candidate for state treasurer in Missouri. Welcoming Pat Contreras.
Let's welcome this young man to the Missouri Senate. Senator from 21st.
Thank you, Mr. President. Seeing no objection, I'd like to introduce some guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you. I think they might have already left the chamber, but I would like to introduce them so their names will be officially in the journal. And they are the 2015 Climb Class, the leadership group from Johnson County. And we had a special guest appearance by the senator from Cole, and he spoke to them today, and they were very impressed with your presentation, by the way. They are Julie Turnipseed, Jason Christensen, Ramana Austin, Elizabeth Bray, Courtney Stevens, Ron Richard, Deidre Thomas, Dane Siss, Tara Carlisle, Kathy Kay, Sue Krause, Christopher Stockdale, Dennis Todd, Sharon Musterman, and Dan Houts, and accompanied by Stormy Taylor, Dan Othick, Scott Munsterman, and Casey Lund. So we are just thrilled that they could be here. And Senator from the 14th, you had a very nice speech for them to hear. So they were very impressed by that. So we'd like to welcome Climb from Johnson County.
We're delighted to welcome all these folks. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of messages from the House of Representatives. I ask the Secretary to please read those messages.
We have messages from the House. Read the messages from the House.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and adopted House Resolution Number 1. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed to read House Resolution Number 1. Be it resolved that the Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives of the 98th General Assembly, first regular session, inform the Governor and the Senate that the House is duly convened and is now in session in the 2015 constitutional veto session and ready for consideration of business. Also, Mr. President, herewith, I return to you House Bill number 150, which was passed by the House of Representatives on May 12, 2015, the objections of the governor thereto notwithstanding. Also, the attached is a certified copy of the roll call on House Bill number 150, dated May 12, 2015. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1022, the objections of the governor thereto notwithstanding, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Also, Mr. President, the attached is a certified copy of the roll call of House Bill 1022. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Committee Substitute House Bill 1098, the objections of the governor thereto notwithstanding, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Also, Mr. President, the attached is a certified copy of the roll call of Senate Committee Substitute House Bill 1098. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to grant permission to Dan Brenner from the Columbia Daily Tribune and to Brian Howe from KMOV-TV St. Louis for photography and video in the Senate chambers. Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion. Those in favor say aye.